The start of the Bucs season is finally here. The quest to bring Larry O'Brien back home starts now. This is the Bucs season preview show.
And just to be around the guys and the team again, it was great.
Now, to get you ready for the season, here are your hosts, Brandon Snide and Justin Garcia.
It is the Bucs season preview. We are on the eve of the regular season beginning for the Bucs tomorrow night in Philadelphia. I'm Justin Garcia, joined by Brandon Snide. We'll preview that matchup, as there's certainly a lot of news that we learned earlier today. I mean, we had a sense it was headed down this road with Chris Middleton, but the bombshell from the 76ers that tomorrow's matchup will be sans Joel Embiid and Paul George certainly takes a little bit of luster off of that matchup. A lot of changes in the Eastern Conference as well, a conference that is arguably as good as it has been in 20, 30-plus years, top to bottom here. And, Brandon, I know you've talked about this.
Embiid hurt? Stop me. Are you serious?
Well, in fairness, he's not hurt. It's part of the plan.
He's dodging Giannis. You're right.
For the 76ers. Right. It's an aging Bucks roster, too. For all the reasons of optimism that we have here for the Bucks, I'm certainly bullish on them. If for no other reason than I choose to believe it can't be much worse than it got last year, it's still... the age piece is something that you can't outrun with this group, and what that means for the window, what that means for athleticism, what that means for how they're going to match up against teams that are younger and more explosive. I think we saw that in the postseason. That is probably the million-dollar question that this team is going to face this season.
Is it crazy, Justin, to say that if not this year, it might never happen?
Well, what is it? The Bucks win another championship.
Another parade. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the roster, right? You mentioned age. Giannis, 29. Damian Lillard will be... So Giannis will be 30 next year. Actually, Giannis will be 30 in a couple weeks. Lillard will be 35. Middleton will be 34. Lopez will be 37. Bobby will be 30.
Yeah, Bobby Portis is younger than Giannis.
Right. So is it crazy to sit here and say on the eve of the Bucks season, 2024-2025, that it's kind of like a make it or break it type season, one way or the other?
So I'm not going to speak in absolutes, but...
Well, you got to.
You don't have to. This group, yes, for this specific group, regardless.
Lillard's still under contract.
Regardless of whether or not the Bucks reach the ultimate goal, even if they win a championship, this group is going to look different next year.
Yeah.
You have to start to think about life after Brook Lopez. Now, in my heart of hearts, I really hope that's my boy, the fellow Waukesha native, Liam Robbins. But realistically, it's not going to be next year.
Brewers fan, Liam
but,
Robbins.
But you have to think about life after Brook Lopez. We'll get to the conversation. I'm sure that's something that's going to take up a lot of time with Bucks fans. It is very polarizing when you bring up the name of Chris Middleton, but they're both entering walk years in Chris Middleton and Brook Lopez. So with the age piece, with that on the contract situation, the team is going to look different next year. I think the question is how different, and that depends on how far they go this year.
When it comes to teams in our city, in our state, especially a team that's in 2021 won a championship, usually over the course of a season, Justin, I'm pretty relaxed. I'm like, it's okay. It's November. It's December. We don't really turn it on until after the All-Star break or around the All-Star break. And then March hits and April hits. And then you really start locking it in. And I think as a Bucks fan, and I don't want to speak for all Bucks fans, but for myself, like these years with Giannis have kind of just flown by to where this year I want to take a step back and enjoy it a little bit. And soak it in a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to leave. I'm not going down that route. I don't think Giannis ever leaves Milwaukee,
well, I mean,
personally.
What you're getting at, just the fact that it seems like you blink and holy cow, Giannis is 30.
Right. And when you look at that, I'm looking at that on my computer screen. I remember when that kid was drafted at 18 years old, and the years that he's brought to this team and to this city has been nothing but fantastic. But it's like oof, man, like it was like it. If you're a Packer fan with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, you know, you before you know it, every year you're in contention. Every year it's a Super Bowl type year, a championship type year. In this case, it's NBA championship type year. But before you know it, he's 30 years old, and I mean, his play style is going to have to change. He's battled with injuries, not even this past postseason, but the postseason before last year. I'm worried about health, man. I'm looking at this roster, and I'm extremely worried about how this year is going to play out. And they have so much to prove this year. They have a lot to prove this year. They did not do good under Doc Rivers in the second half of last year. Offensively, and well, defensively, they were okay.
Well, they were better than 22nd in the league. But
they were the sixth-rated offense last year, but it never felt like it. It just never felt like it.
It was a different story in the second half of the season. And, you know, look. That's another conversation, is just year one to year two of Doc Rivers. And we talked about the change that this team went through. It wasn't just Damian Lillard coming in. You know, I mean, everything that happened last year was remarkable. And it felt like several seasons rolled into one. The euphoria of acquiring Damian Lillard, September 26th, 27th?
27th. I knew exactly where I was.
Essentially, the eve where.
I'll never forget it.
Where was it?
I was at a bar. I was waiting on my order of chicken wings.
They
weren't that great. However, I did not care, because I was. My expectations on that date were we're going to win the championship.
Well, and if we go back to that day when the news breaks, because that name did start to come up during the summer.
Yeah.
Of. Hey, why can't the Bucks get Damian Lillard?
It did. Yep.
I know I was asked that. Other outlets that I was a part of, we would get that question the same time as well, and you would always kind of push back and diminish it. Like, well, yeah, I would love to have Damian Lillard with Giannis, but I don't see the path. And John Horst did it, and that's kind of been the MO of John Horst as the general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks. I didn't think they had the assets to get Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday becomes Milwaukee Buck. P.J. Tucker, when he became available the first time, you thought, well, this guy would check a lot of boxes. It makes a lot of sense for us. You didn't think they had the assets for him. They turned two DJs into a P.J. to bring in P.J. Tucker. Even guys that didn't work out, like Nikola Mirotic, putting together the package to get him. That's what John Horst has done throughout his time. So it was no different with Damian Lillard. And you go back to that thought and the feeling of euphoria, and holy cow, these two guys are going to be playing together. How do you stop this two-man game? You have two of the 75 greatest players of all time on the same team. And I think there was a very, very quiet minority that said, well, look, it's not that simple. We're not playing NBA 2K here. It is going to take time for these two to develop that chemistry, to find out what works here on this team. Let's not ignore some of the shortcomings and trade-offs that you made defensively that this move makes. And just overall reshaping the franchise that had kind of built themselves on defense. We think about the Bucks and Giannis, and, well, they were an offensive team under Bud. And three-point shooting with Bud. They were a defensive team. They won the championship in 2021 in spite of a really bad half-court offense. They had one of the best playoff defenses we had seen in the last 15 or so years. So that was a massive change for this team, to change the way that you're going to play, to change the style that you're going to be. You couple with that, who we presume was your lead assistant, leaving during the preseason.
A week before the regular season?
Everything that was going on with Damian Lillard.
Did you have thoughts about, what was your head, real quick? Pause right there. Terry Stotts walks away a week, literally a week before the season started. The Adrian Griffin hire was already questioned. Your thoughts heading into that moment had to have been, I already had a bad feeling about it. I'm like, this doesn't feel right. And not only did it not feel right that he was walking away, that was one of Dame's guys.
Yeah. One of Dame's guys and the guy that was going to engineer the offense
for this team.
It certainly was an uneasy feeling. And you wondered, well, what's the story here?
Which we never got. Well,
Damian Lillard arriving. And he documented this on Media Day as well, of, hey, I was traded on a Thursday. I came to Milwaukee Saturday and remember the big production the Bucks did of encouraging fans to come down and greeting Damian Lillard outside of the arena. That was the first time he arrived in Milwaukee.
Yep.
And was living out of a hotel without his family. I mean, I know he brought them with him immediately, but his family went back to Portland. He had to find a place to live. The next day, it's media day. The day after that, it's training camp. And this is the first time that Damian Lillard is meeting these guys. So it was a whirlwind season. And just when you think it couldn't get any stranger, you had three head coaches last year. Mm-hmm. In a calendar year, you had four with Bud, Adrian Griffin, Joe Prunty as your interim head coach, and then eventually Doc Rivers, not a calendar year, but a fiscal year, carrying over into January. So it was quite a production last season. And I think that's one of the big pieces you point to and say, it can't be worse than last year when you think about all the change and all the moving parts with this team. The one constant last year was Giannis. In a world of change, in a world of unfamiliarity, confusion, everything that's set in with that team, Giannis was the constant. He was as good, better than he had ever been with his efficiency, the way he cleaned up his shot diet, still out there producing 30 points. You wouldn't have known everything was in chaos just by watching Giannis, but it was. And the point of bringing all this up is that's gone. Doc Rivers had a chance to basically audit the class with this team. He comes in January, gets a chance to learn these guys, to get a look at the young players, to learn Giannis, to develop that relationship with both he and Damian Lillard, to work with that duo and say, here's how we're going to do things. Here's how we're going to fix them. The biggest asset that Doc Rivers brings with him is his ability to manage stars and egos and work with those guys. But I think one of the reasons I am most optimistic about this season is if we go back to all of what we said there, Joe Prunty and Terry Stotts were your two veteran assistants. The other guys on the staff, and this is not to take a shot at them, was a lot of second row guys. Guys that hadn't had a whole lot of experience, hadn't been that close to the head coach on the bench. And I know you wondered, I had this conversation several times last year with a number of people. Who's the lead assistant here? I would assume it's Joe Prunty, but who's running things here? And I think that was something that kind of set in. It's not to say that players are just going to shut down and not pay attention to the coach, but it's easy to take direction from somebody like Bud, from Doc Rivers, from guys that have that track record, that have won and experienced success. It's a bit of an adjustment to do that from guys that this is their first time in that seat, coaches that aren't quite at its experience. And the one thing I will never forget Mike Budenholzer telling a group of us was, you know, the thing about this league and these players is the moment they sense you don't know what you're talking about,
boom,
it's over. There's no coming back from that.
Done.
You have lost them from that point forward. It is hard not to say that's at least partially what we saw after four games last year when the players had to go to Griff and say, look, we got to play Brook Lopez back by the basket. No. We got to do things this way. That I think a lot of that started to set in. It's all gone this year. And I think the biggest thing, not only the continuity, Giannis and Dame not spending the summer together, which we'll get to a little bit here, Doc Rivers having a chance to learn this group, the coaching staff, all those questions we had about the assistants last year, not one of them this year. When you think about the guys on this staff that have been head coaches, Dave Yeager, Darvin Ham is back.
Yeah.
Joe Prunty's been a three-time interim coach.
Yeah.
Greg Buckner's been the associate head coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers for the last 4 years, and Doc Rivers, and all the guys he had with him last year as well, Rex Kalamian. Night and day when you talk about the experience on the bench this year versus last year.
That's part of what I'm afraid of, though, if this makes sense. Because we mentioned the age, we mentioned where they are contract-wise. Everything is in place. All the pressure is on them to perform on the court. We don't have anything to crutch on. Well, it's Adrian Griffin's a bad hire. Terry Stotts walked away. Joe Prunty's the interim. Doc Rivers comes in late. We don't have that this year. That's why I'm afraid. I'm excited about this Bucks season. Don't get me wrong. I have Bucks in six tatted on my left forearm. I'm a diehard Milwaukee Bucks fan. But I'm petrified of this season because it feels like the end, possibly, of a run if it isn't completed this year. Because of those, there is no excuse. Outside of injury, of course, that usually won't be used as an excuse. But if Giannis or Dame, God forbid, go down, then obviously that is what happened. But that's why I'm afraid of going into this year. I'm anxious. I'm excited. I'm happy NBA basketball is back. I'm excited for the Bucks season. I'm excited to see Giannis and Dame together in a full offseason. And we'll talk about their offseason later on. I'm excited for Doc and all the coaching staff that you mentioned. But at the same time, man, if I'm being honest with you, I'm petrified because I know in the back of my mind, if this doesn't work out, it may never work out.
Well, I think one of the larger points is runs are going to end sooner. Now, not just with
especially
the Bucks,
especially with the
CBA. With every single team, with the way that the CBA is set up. So we'll get into that conversation as well. But the question I think we need to attempt to answer throughout the course of these next 2 hours tonight is, what are your realistic expectations for this team? Mm-hmm. Last year, they were sky high. Every year under Bud, the first year, there were high expectations. But that first year, the expectations for that team that eventually won 60 games and lost in six games in the Eastern Conference Finals, the expectations going into that season. Remember, the Bucks had not gotten out of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have home court advantage in the first round? With Bud, I feel like we're a good team. We should be a top four seed and finally win in the first round. Those were the expectations. You saw him advance them. From that point forward, it was, we need to compete for a championship. I don't know if that's where it is this year. So that is my question to the audience. What are your realistic expectations for the Bucks this season? 855-616-1620 is the number to text in those expectations or reach us tonight. We will attempt to answer that question, give you where we're at, and start to unpack some of these things. Chris Middleton, his status going forward. Giannis and Dame, that pairing. The coaching staff that we already touched on. An improved Eastern Conference. A lot to unpack on this show tonight.
And if you're out there and you're listening, you're driving, call in, text us. Talk me off the ledge. Am I crazy for thinking that this could be the end of the Bucks run? Please, because I need some comfort here because I am a little worried. Tomorrow is going to creep up on us and the season's going to get underway in Philadelphia. No Joel Embiid, no Paul George. Nobody's shocked that Embiid's not playing, but help me. Help me.
All right. When we return, one of the more polarizing names in Milwaukee Bucks history, Chris Middleton. What to make of the offseason and start to this season for Chris Middleton? We'll get into that conversation after this. It's the Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
This is the Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
Barry.
There's still more work to do. This is the Bucks season preview on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
No Chris today, so probably no Chris tomorrow.
Probably, or just
it's pretty 100%, so 99.
In the run-up to this, it sounded fairly expected.
Yeah, I would say this week it became more expected. I thought before this week there was a pretty good chance he may make it because he's moving great, but we just haven't had enough live activity for him.
No setbacks?
No, there's no setbacks. And I would say if this was a playoff game, he'd probably be playing or close to it.
So it's more of a day-to-day?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, as all of us are.
Doc Rivers, earlier today, talking about Chris Middleton. Shouldn't be surprising news, given that we did not see him during the preseason. I'm sure it's very discouraging for a lot of Bucks fans. I have long maintained I'm not worried about it yet. Mm-hmm. Look, I get you can push back and say, well, Chris is injury prone. Chris has missed a lot of time. I can't dispute the games played part. Chris talked about this. And I don't think it's an excuse so much as it's the reason, but it really is a string of bad luck. I mean, all of this started when he slipped on a wet spot in game two against the Chicago Bulls. Cost mm-hmm. the Bucks a chance to defend their championship. And with that and the surgery that he had in the offseason, it gave him the opportunity to clean some other things up. And from that point forward, he's had some of the worst luck in the league, it seems like. I think this is a different conversation now than it would have been a year ago if you didn't make that trade for Damian Lillard. If you still had that group, which I think the rationale from John Horst and company to make that trade was, we feel like we've gone as far as we can with this group. We need to try to win differently. I mentioned the offense was not good the year they won a championship. They had an elite defense. The offense did just enough. So the thought was, look, we couldn't score to save our lives against the Boston Celtics. I understand that Chris Middleton wasn't there and all the hate that came the way of Grayson Allen and other players. It's a different story if Chris is on the floor and you're asking them to do less. Mm-hmm. But the point was, you didn't have enough half-court offensive players. Then you lose to the Miami Heat as an 8 seed. Same story. You did not have a half-court offense to speak of. So that's what prompted this change. If they didn't make it, then I think it is very concerning because you're asking Drew Holiday to do something that he's frankly not equipped to do. We've seen him do it in spurts, but it's not a strong suit to say, Drew, you're the number two option. We're going to need 25-plus points from you. We're going to need you to step that part up offensively. I know you can do it in spurts. I know you can do it once every, 10 or so games, but we need that much more consistently. That's what you would be saying to Drew Holiday if Grayson Allen was still in the roster, presumably not making that trade, to those types of players. Hey, by the way, we need you to outkick the coverage because Chris is out. With this trade, you're sacrificing a lot defensively, but it gives you the opportunity to say, we can take our time with Chris Middleton because he's the third option. And we have this Damian Lillard guy that was scoring 30 points a game before he came to Milwaukee, and we think he can still do that. So if we have he and Giannis on the floor, yeah, it's not ideal. We would love to have Chris out there, but we can take our time because we saw in that series against the Pacers how important it is to have him during the postseason. I don't know what the date is to worry. It's kind of like when Doc was talking about where does this team need to be in their rankings, offensive and defensive. I mean, it's long been kicked around. You can't be outside of the top 10 in either. We saw the Denver Nuggets kind of buck that trend, but the quiet outlier was, you know, even though defensively I think they finished 15th the year they won the championship, they were really good the second half of the season. But Doc said, I don't know what the number is. There is a number. I don't know what it is, but you know it when you see it. I think that's where I'm at with Chris Middleton. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned right now. There is a point where you will be concerned.
Where? What is that point?
I don't know. I'll know it when I see it.
What's your point? You don't. Okay.
I'll know it when I see it. It's not October. I mean,
it's got to be though. It's got to be sooner rather than later because we're gonna have the same conversation that we had last year. Well, Giannis and Doc Rivers talked about it today. Giannis and Dame just didn't have enough time. None of these guys had enough time. At some point, you got to put together.
To be clear,
you got to get some games together.
To be clear, I think the unfair part, Chris isn't ready. It's not a setback.
No.
It's not any of that. It's not a re-aggravation. You get the sense this is a look, it's not too dissimilar from what we're seeing in Philadelphia. This is an organizational, here's how we think we can preserve Chris the most for the postseason. And you saw what he gave you in that series against the Indiana Pacers. So to me, I know Chris Middleton said his goal was to play 70 games this season. If he doesn't play in the back half or front end of back-to-backs, that's clearly not going to happen. Even more so if he misses, let's say, the first 7 games of this season. But if you're telling me he plays 45 games and he plays 20 minutes a game, but when you get to the playoffs, this was the plan.
Ramps up a little
bit. He's ready to go, and you see shades of what you saw in that series against the Indiana Pacers. I don't know how you can argue with that plan. The problem is, I can't guarantee you that's going to be the case.
And I think Horst did a really good job this offseason and identifying that, identifying what, in the event of, you know, that he isn't able to go, you know, I think Prince is going to be able to step in pretty good for him. Obviously not probably as efficiently on offense, but defensively, I think Prince is going to do good in absence of Chris Middleton. You got Gary Trent Jr. obviously. But I'm going to tell you right now, if he doesn't play until December, if he misses all of November and we get the same, well, he's just not ready yet. He's running. He hasn't done 5-on-5 yet, but he's at practice and he's participating in drills. I'm going to have a red flag raised.
Mean, December's a long time away. Like if we get
not,
to,
I mean, it's 5 weeks. That's not that far.
Five weeks for a non-re-aggravated and nothing else happened.
That's
a long time. So
that is,
like
it is a long time. But that's
December is certainly a what's going on
right here.
But
it's not like we haven't seen something like this happen before.
Well, and look, again, I get it. Look at Philadelphia.
Well, you're absolutely right. You had a perfect tweet out the other day. You got to promote your tweet there.
So maybe a little bit of shine is taken off of this matchup with some of the news that we learned earlier today. To me, and look, I get it. Most people listening to the show are Bucks fans and not 76ers fans. But to me, it is far more concerning what's going on in Philadelphia. So you're not going to see Joel Embiid tomorrow. You're not going to see Paul George tomorrow, which is not unexpected. But Doc Rivers talked about what that is going to mean for this team tomorrow and how they approach it. And yeah, look, the Bucks are headed into a no-win situation with tomorrow's game.
Yeah, they are.
That is the reality of this.
Well,
so
yeah, if they lose tomorrow.
So what they're walking into tomorrow and how Doc Rivers is preparing this team to take on an opponent without two of their biggest stars, and two stars that carry a lot of similarities to Chris Middleton with one big difference. We'll get into that conversation coming up after this. It's the Bucks Season Preview Show on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
There's still more work to do. This is the Bucks Season Preview on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
No Chris today, so probably no Chris tomorrow.
Yeah. Probably or just
it's pretty 100%, so 99.
Doc Rivers talking earlier today about Chris Middleton. He also spoke about Joel Embiid and his team not facing Joel Embiid tomorrow in Philadelphia. A player that Doc Rivers knows very well from the
Duck in the smoke
years that he coached him. So it's a no-win situation for the Bucks tomorrow
night.
It is.
Yeah, you're right.
Because if everything looks right,
mm-hmm.
and the Dame and Giannis pairing is there, and it's everything that we envisioned, and your role players, the upgraded roster, it looks better. Maybe we see something from one of the young guys. Everything falls into place. The defense looks improved.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be met with, so what? You beat the Sixers without Paul George and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, but for me, that's okay.
I could not care less.
Yeah.
But this is the narrative they're walking into.
100%.
If they lose, if they look bad... Same old Bucks, same old Doc Rivers. This team is cooked. That's the conversation we should prepare ourselves for on Thursday. The Chris thing to me is fascinating because I looked at this a week, 2 weeks ago, just thinking about, okay, I know he's missed a lot of games, but I don't think this is just because I'm so close to the team invested in what they're doing here. I feel like I can at least explain this. But I feel like there's a comp out there. So I started digging around and looking at, and let's look at games played the last few years. And I went back the last 4 years. And I picked the last 4 years because that started with the Bucks defending their championship. They never had a chance to properly do it because of that aforementioned Chris Middleton injury in round two when...
They would have beat Boston.
I think they were the best team out there,
yep. Yes.
Then the next year, Giannis is not fully healthy. You lose in the first round to the Miami Heat. The next year, injuries again, which of course is last year. So the last 3 years, 4 years, three seasons that we're talking about here for Chris Middleton. Dating back to that time, if we look at games played, Chris Middleton has played in 222 games, four seasons. So starting with the year they won the championship, 222 games. Out of that was a 72-game season the first year, remember. So this is 222 games out of a possible 318. It's apropos that the Bucks are playing the 76ers tomorrow because in that same time period, Joel Embiid has played in 224 games, two games more than Chris Middleton. Paul George has played in 215 games, seven games fewer than Chris Middleton. And look, when I pointed this out, it was met with a lot of, that's the conversation, that's the company you want to be in the conversation of? And you're trying to tell me he is an injury prone? Maybe, fine. But my point in all of this is Chris Middleton's the third option. Paul George is going to be the third option with Philly this year, but Paul George was not the third option during the time period that we're tracking here. And Joel Embiid is certainly not the third option. So if I had my choice, I would rather that third piece be the guy that I say, man, you know what? I hope he's there versus the guy that has to be there, missing that amount of games, and then your big supplemental piece. So again, it kind of ties into the trade discussion, how that bought you some time and gave you more leeway to say, we can take our time with Chris Middleton. Him being your third option gives you more of that, too, to say, 80%, let's not risk it. 90%, no, we want you to be 105%, and then we'll put you on the floor. That's not the case with these other teams that we're talking about.
No, and part of that reason is because we are Milwaukee. Call it like it is. That's what it is. It's the reason their big media is trying to push Giannis out of Milwaukee. Not even a calendar year after he signed an extension. That they're picking Milwaukee to finish in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference, which is a joke.
Well, I mean,
and they're talking about Chris Middleton being injury prone, but at the same time, they're pumping up Joel Embiid and getting MVP trophies. When you look at it, that's exactly what it is.
Well, I think there's a morsel of truth to that, but I do think some of it is explainable. And you know, we can take the suggestion from Bobby Portis, which we'll hear coming up after the break here. Also, the impact that some of these new guys are going to have with this team. And again, another reason why, to me, not until it starts to extend into the double digits of, all right, what's going on here with Chris Middleton? Am I all that concerned because of some of the moves the Bucks made in the offseason? We'll get into those new acquisitions and hear what Bobby Portis had to say in terms of advice for handling the media coming up after this. It is the Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
There's still more work to do. This is the Bucks season preview on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
Today.
This is the Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
I don't listen to what sorry you guys in the media, but I don't really like listen to that stuff anymore. Like when I lost in like USA basketball last summer, like it's just on my mentions. My mentions was crazy. So after that, I ain't been on Twitter at all. So whatever people are saying about our team, it is what it is. We can't really, you know, do anything about it. It's their personal opinion. We have our opinion about our group of guys that's in our locker room, and we're going to go to war every day and fight for each other and be the best Milwaukee Bucks team we can. So Chris Middleton, K-Mid, Cash Money, he got so many nicknames, whatever you want to call him. He nice to me, man, and he going to be ready to go and ready to roll. Let's see how they feel about him after this season, man. He's gonna do his thing like he always do. He had 40 points twice in the playoffs. They forgot, right? Sometimes they forget. It's all good.
Bobby Portis with his message to the local media, and something that he says has kind of been a rallying cry within the locker room of, all right, that's fine, let him talk. I mean, you mentioned outlets picking the Bucks to finish in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference.
Some had play-in.
One of them had the plan. And look, I mean,
you gotta be kidding me.
Well, I mean, you can at least understand where they're coming from.
No, I don't. Where?
It's an older roster.
I don't care.
It is a team that lost in the first round 2 years in a row.
I don't care.
We like what's new.
We do.
You have young teams that are on the rise. One of them beat the Bucks in the first round last year.
Wow. Yeah, context. Context, Justin.
They won the series.
Took them six games, and we didn't have two of our best players. They're a bunch of punks in Indiana.
The Knicks made some big moves.
They're on my list.
The 76ers made some big moves. The Celtics are the reigning champions.
Did I tell you about my list? The Pacers are on my list. They might be at the top of the list. They might have moved. LeBron might slide down, and the Pacers might be at the top of the list. I got to find that game this year and circle that on my calendar. To go back to your point.
I don't agree with it. I wouldn't pick the Bucks to finish seventh. I wouldn't pick them to finish sixth.
Who's the best player in the NBA? Don't think about it. Go.
I'm not going to answer it.
Ask me.
Well, I know who you're going to say based off that. It is hard. He's in the conversation. It's hard to dispute Nikola Jokic.
Oh, jeez. Max, who's the best player in the NBA? I was
going to say Jokic.
What?
I mean, I'm the most efficient player in the league.
I don't think he does anything better than Giannis besides shoot the ball.
That's pretty important.
I mean,
but Giannis still scores. He's still scoring.
I know it's improved.
Efficiency is.
I know it has improved, but he is a better passer than Giannis is.
Debatable.
It's not debatable. I know it's improved with Giannis, but it is not to the level of Nikola Jokic.
The ball's lighter in Denver.
It's not a wide gap that separates them. So if you want to say it's Giannis, it's Jokic, it's Doncic, whatever. Yeah.
So if it's 1A, 1B, and you got one of those two, automatically it's disrespectful to classify them into a play-in.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is like we said, the age and just the notion of I don't trust this team is going to stay healthy.
And that's
fair. If that's where you're coming from, that is more than fair.
I suppose. But I think that
you
could say that.
And now, by the way, you're making it sound as though I am predicting the Bucks are going to finish in the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
I would never do that.
And I'm the Bucks hater.
No, you're not a Bucks hater. But I will just say this. You can make that argument about almost any team. You can make it about the Lakers.
You can make it about Phoenix.
You can make it about Philly. You can make it about Miami, who's had their own Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, but nobody's picking Miami to finish near the top of the conference.
But a lot of those teams that I just named are being picked to go ahead of the Milwaukee
Bucks. Yeah, but
you can't
make that about the Celtics. You can't make that about the Thunder. You arguably can't make it about the Timberwolves.
That's way off topic, but that trade they made was a head-scratcher. Totally different topic and not made for the show. But
the reality of it is, though, you know, you look at the Bucks, the Sixers, the Knicks, Max's Cavs. One of those teams is going to finish sixth, seventh. Something like that is going to happen where one of those teams is going to slide. You're going to see at least one of those teams, whether it's the Magic, the Pacers, the Cavs. I've seen a lot of Cavs hype to be the two seed. I don't necessarily disagree with it. But one of those teams, at least, is going to jump up there and crash the party. And one of these teams that has the lofty expectations is not only not going to have home court in the first round, they're going to slide down to six and maybe the play-in tournament.
I hope it's a team that's on my list at number one right now. And it's not a good list to be on. You don't want to be on my list. And Indiana, the entire team, highlighted by the former Wisconsinite, the Oshkosh native, Tyrese Halliburton.
So let me ask you something. Do you think it's a good thing, looking at the conference this year, I don't think the Bucks are going to be afforded the luxury to say, we can take it easy.
No, I agree. No, like, you're right.
And it's not just the Bucks.
Yeah.
It's
everybody.
The 76ers. Yeah. It's all these teams that you are going to be pushed by teams that are in the midpoint, in the bottom, the top of the fighting to get out of the play-in tournament, those teams are going to push you. There's not as many easy wins on the schedule.
And that goes to the point I made in, I think it was the first segment, was that's why I'm worried about this year. Because you're right. It's a tougher conference. I think the Bucks are better than 90% of those teams. However, it's a team that hasn't really proven anything under Doc, hasn't really proven anything with this core, with this group outside of obviously Giannis and Chris and Brooke Lopez, but with Dame, they haven't proven anything. So that's what I'm worried about. And that goes back to emphasize my first point I made. Because you're right. You're not going to be able to have that stretch in the schedule. You can slide three or four down in the L column and be okay. Because it is ultra competitive.
So I think one area where the Bucks are much better served this year than they were a season ago is the overall depth on the roster, but that bench especially, the pieces make sense. And it's easy to explain, at least partially explain, why it didn't make as much sense last year. We'll tell you that explanation and hear about who may play a huge role for the Bucks this upcoming season. When we return, it's the Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
This is the Buck Season Preview on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
Just a vet, knows how to play, knows how to play off of better players. Think of his whole career, most of his career. He's played with, Towns and Edwards, and then he goes to, L.A., and he plays with two pretty good players there, And what you like about him is everywhere he goes, they love playing with him. So he's been great here, and our guys love playing with him.
It's Doc Rivers talking about Taurean Prince, who I presume will be starting tomorrow for Chris Middleton. We saw him start throughout the preseason. He was one of those additions the Bucks made in the offseason. So, Brandon, the three changes, big changes, that the Bucks made this season were you allow Malik Beasley to leave, signed a $6 million deal with the Detroit Pistons, so doubled his salary from last year. And you replaced him with Gary Trent Jr., who I think unanimously you would hear is an upgrade over Malik Beasley. The one area, Malik Beasley is a better shooter than Gary Trent Jr., but I would argue Gary Trent Jr.'s overall offensive portfolio is better, and he may not be an all-defensive player, but he is a better defender.
Can guard multiple
than
positions.
Malik Beasley. Jay Crowder, who had a rough year last year, started out great, dealt with the core injury, and it looked rough after that. Jay Crowder is gone. Jay Crowder, I don't know if he officially retired, but is not with an NBA team. You replaced him with that man that we just heard about, Taurean Prince, who, if you only listen to Lakers fans, you would think, man, what did we get here? But the fact of the matter is Taurean Prince is a very good reserve player. He has the ability to play small ball four, which is something the Bucks have sorely lacked ever since P.J. Tucker left in the summer of 2021. And the importance of that is, we heard so much in the offseason about versatility and playing different ways. I think everybody jumped to conclusions and said, well, that means you're trading Brook Lopez because you got to be able to switch more. You need centers that can defend out on perimeter. He's too old. This is what we're doing. And I think it's been in front of us all along. The versatility and playing differently means, no, we need Brook, and we also need other ways to play depending on the matchup. You still have Jokic. You still have Joel Embiid. You still have bigs that you're going to have to account for. So there's still value in Brook Lopez. But having Taurean Prince means when called for, Giannis can play the five, and you have someone you trust that can play next to him. He can also play the three, which, again, I think he's going to start at tomorrow. But Taurean Prince had an up-and-down year with the Lakers last year. He is a better player than Jay Crowder at this stage in their careers and certainly at the age, younger than Jay Crowder. The other piece of that, never really had confidence in a backup point guard last year. Campaign gave you some offense and spurts. There's no defense there, and certainly no size from Campaign. It required you to go get Pat Beverly at the trade deadline. Pat Beverly, we saw his Bucks career end with some controversy, but he is gone. Delon Wright in his place, who is another player that I think checks a ton of boxes for the Bucks and has been very, very good throughout his career in that role as a combo guard role player that can start, can play off the bench, is there for defense, dirty work, and knocking down open shots. That wasn't necessarily the strong suit of Pat Beverly. He could still talk. He was still an agitator. He still had some spurts of defense. He wasn't the Pat Beverly he was with the Houston Rockets. He doesn't have the size that Delon Wright has. So all three of those moves give you much better players than the player that they replaced a season ago when depth was frankly a major issue for the Bucks.
I thought Horse had a sneaky good offseason for what he had. And then you didn't even mention...
You got all those with veteran minimums.
And we'll talk about his draft too, which I'm high on, and I know A.J. Johnson struggled to shoot the ball in preseason, but I liked what I saw out of him, which was refreshing as a Bucks fan to see a first-round draft pick make plays in training camp and the preseason. And I thought John Horst did a fantastic job with what he had. And this team is built to win, and that's the concern going into the year that I mentioned earlier. It's just they're built. They have to do it now.
They are deeper than they were a season ago, and I mentioned it makes more sense. I'll explain what I mean by that as we wrap up the hour. Hour number one, still one more to go. The Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
You're listening to the Buck Season Preview Show on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
All right, so I mentioned it makes more sense this year with the roster. You can't discount this as much criticism as half of Malik Beasley's game took. It made more sense, the Malik Beasley signing at the time, because you assumed, well, Drew Holiday, who's playing next to him, Drew Holiday is going to take on the tough defensive assignments, and Malik Beasley is giving us that shooting in a role that we've seen a lot of success from two guards throughout the years, be it Dante DiVincenzo, Grayson Allen, we saw Pat Connaughton at times when he was elevated into that role. The list goes on. Malik Beasley was the next in line. And that part of the equation makes sense when you have Drew Holiday next to you providing the defense. But as we mentioned, 3 days before media day, you blew up that plan when you got Damian Lillard. So that's where it didn't really make sense last year, you know, with the lack of a point guard, or at least size there when we mentioned campaign. Again, something that makes sense when you can bring him in and play Drew Holiday off the ball and campaign is running the offense. So it just never fit together because of the timing of that Damian Lillard trade. And I think that's the other important aspect of this offseason, is not just Doc Rivers having time to examine things, bring in his staff, have some input on personnel decisions, and just get that familiarity with this team. But you have a full year where you can make these changes that make sense and say, okay, we know Giannis and Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez, we know they're here, so let's fill in the pieces around them versus working backwards and basically building the plane as it's in the air.
Man, Gary Trent Jr. and Malik Beasley, identical splits last year, though. Pretty close. I think the thing with Malik was just that he was just super inconsistent all last year. He would go on a tear, and then he would disappear for a week. And the inconsistency is, I think, what drove myself and other Bucks fans crazy.
Well, and that inconsistency, I mean, he's the fifth option. So that's what's going to drive that, is you're not going to get the same opportunities.
Yeah, but he got plenty of looks last year, though, on a consistent basis.
Plenty of open looks, yeah, but, I mean, he's still the fifth option.
I'm not asking him to score 20 points a game, or I wasn't asking him to score 20 points a game, just like I wouldn't ask Gary Trent to do that.
I think,
but the inconsistency was an issue.
Well, and I think Raptors fans would cordially push back and say, look, we saw some inconsistency from Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, but at least I know what I'm getting out of him defensively. I'm not getting that out of Malik. It's a clear upgrade, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think there's going to be inconsistency isn't the right word, but Gary Trent Jr.'s defensive style, there's going to be ups and downs. He's a risk taker. He creates a lot of turnovers by reading the passing lanes, deflections, things of that nature, and it looks great when he causes the steals, but there's going to be moments where it does not lead to a steal. It leads to a breakaway, and I think that's going to be interesting to monitor how Bucks fans react to that. But we got plenty more to get to, taking a look ahead to this next season here. It begins tomorrow night in Philadelphia, the Bucks and the 76ers. We'll preview that game and to take a look at that other name that we just mentioned, Gary Trent Jr., what he brings to the Bucks as the conversation continues on the Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
This is the Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin. The start of the Bucks season is finally here. The quest to bring Larry O'Brien back home starts now. This is the Bucks season preview show.
And just to be around the guys and the team again, it was great.
Now, to get you ready for the season, here are your hosts, Brandon Snide and Justin Garcia.
Hour number two of the Bucks season preview show, Bucks in Philadelphia tomorrow to take on the 76ers. 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when the pregame coverage begins with myself and Dave Kane. If you're really into it, if you're one of those sickos that needs to know.
I'll be tuned in.
The exacts, 6:43 is the actual tip time tomorrow night. And then at roughly 9:30, you and I will hit the airwaves for the first post-game Bucks talk of this season.
Talking about a win.
One name that may be important to get that done is Gary Trent Jr., especially knowing that Chris Middleton is not going to play in that game tomorrow. You mentioned the upgrades that you feel he brings over Malik Beasley. He's younger. I mean, that there are so many things to like about that signing. I think that was a pipe dream for the Bucks to say. You know, because I remember hearing the chatter early in the offseason, too, of why don't we just go get Gary Trent Jr.? He hasn't signed yet. And when the Raptors basically announced, we're moving on. We're not matching that number. We're not giving you, what, $15 million, I think it was. We're rescinding that offer. You're a free agent. Then it immediately started. Well, Gary Trent Jr. has a good relationship with Dame. Bring him in.
He's a younger guy, too, with playoff experience.
That was my other point. He is very young, considering this roster. He will turn 26 years old in January.
That's a kid on this roster.
It is 10 years younger than Brooke Lopez. That is Gary, who had an interesting run-in with Brooke Lopez last year when he was a member of the Raptors. But there was so much to like about it. The age, the relationship he has in chemistry with Damian Lillard from their time in Portland together. He's had some big games against the Bucks throughout his career. But as we mentioned, look, clearly defense is not the strong suit for Malik Beasley. The Bucks were not the first team to learn that. You know what the strength is. He can shoot. That shooting usually comes in the catch-and-shoot variety. We saw whenever Malik would do anything outside of that, be it a fast break or putting the ball on the floor to try to attack the lane, it was always an adventure. Is Gary Trent Jr. LeBron James? No. But he's much better in that facet. He can score from multiple levels. Not necessarily the case with Malik Beasley. And you may say, well, do you really need that when you have Damian Lillard and Giannis? I think, yes. I mean, you need as much of it as you can get. But the curious thing to me is going to be Giannis and Dame played in 73 games last year. And we've heard Doc Rivers not outright say we want to preserve these guys for the playoffs. But I am curious to see what is a realistic expectation of games played for those guys. And do we see maybe not necessarily games, but minutes per game start to come down for those guys to say, look, we'll play you around 70 games, but we're going to slice off 3 minutes per game from what you played a season ago. That is a major opening and opportunity for a guy like a Gary Trent Jr. who can be instant offense and lead a bench unit for those minutes where you don't have a Giannis or Dame on the floor.
And his splits are very good shooting the ball, like you mentioned. And he has never played with somebody
like Giannis.
Like Giannis.
I mean, very few people in the league have, unless you've been a member of the Bucks for the last.
Well, best player in the league, right? Yeah, I would even add, I mean, just everybody on the roster compared to, you know, who he's played with. And there's no shot at other teams that he's been on. But even like a guy like Brooke Lopez, you know, Chris Middleton, when he comes back, I mean, he fits this team perfectly. And I also would make the case that Wright does as well. And Prince is going to step in for Chris Middleton. It was just a great offseason for the Milwaukee Bucks. And it's an offseason where it was so good, but it was yet so quiet. And the lack of recognition that the Milwaukee Bucks have gotten nationally was always something that never really understood, where, you know, a lot of experts and pundits were picking them to, you know, not only not make the finals or the Eastern Conference finals, but play in the play-in, and how general manager John Horst failed them. And we'll hear from John, you know, him soon. But I thought he did everything that he should have done this offseason for this team.
So here's the other thing that stands out to me about Gary Trent Jr. He played 71 games last year, and he had a total of just under 2,000 minutes that he played. 28 per game, minutes per game that he played. Malik Beasley was very durable last year. 79 games played. He played just under 2,400 minutes, but about 2 minutes more per game than Gary Trent Jr., and he took about 100 more threes. Malik Beasley took 542 three-pointers last year and shot 41%. Gary Trent Jr. is a career 39% three-point shooter. He was 39% last year. When he was with Damian Lillard was when he was at his best. He, in those years, from three, the rookie year, we'll throw it out. It was 15 games, and he was a rookie, not very highly touted. But The following two seasons that he spent with Dame in Portland, he shot 42% and 39% on his three-point attempts, playing right next to Dame, the same role he'll have on this team. And last year he took 453s at that 39% mark. I think he is poised to have the best season of a two-guard on this team in the Giannis MVP era. So we're not going to include the year that Chris Middleton was your two-guard, but looking at the other run, Malcolm Brogdon, Dante DiVincenzo, Grayson Allen, Malik Beasley, like those are the four main candidates. I think Gary Trent Jr. statistically is going to have the best season of that bunch. And is he going to take the same volume of threes as Malik Beasley? I think initially you're inclined to say no because Malik is a volume shooter and Gary Trent Jr., as we just mentioned, can do more than just catch and shoot. But when you factor in the minutes and everything else, minutes played, games played, the per 36 numbers here, it's very close what Malik Beasley did last year. Just under 7 3-point attempts per game. As for Gary Trent Jr., 6.5 on a bad Raptors team where you knew most of the offense is coming from him. Malik Beasley said it many times last year. Words cannot describe the open looks that you see on this team when you're on the floor with Giannis and Damian Lillard. And I think that's what Gary Trent Jr. is about to walk into.
That should be a good year for him. I would even say Prince, throw him in there as well. And I know he played with LeBron over in L.A. and Anthony Davis as well. And I think he did pretty well over there. I know Lakers fans aren't high on him, but Darvin Ham was. Darvin Ham's back into the Bucks locker room, and Prince is thankful that he is back, and him and Ham got a great relationship. What weight do you give that Darvin Ham back into the locker room? Is that a big deal? Is that something that Bucks fans, probably myself included, have sort of forgotten a little bit? That I feel like he was a bigger role on that 21 team.
Yeah,
we remember. I mean, he was.
Well, I think it was very clear as soon as he left when we started to hear from Bobby Portis and others about how much they missed him.
Yeah.
And, the big thing, too, that Bud was up against was not to say that the players tuned him out or didn't respect him, but Darvin Ham was a former player.
Yeah.
And it's easier for those guys to relate to somebody that had gone through those same things and can lend that ear. And that's what they really missed in his absence. But I think the biggest boost that he's going to give is to the defense. And not, building the relationships and getting that to the trust that he already has with that group. They missed that, certainly. But I wouldn't go as far as to say he was his personal coach, but Darvin Ham was very instrumental with Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis. Brook Lopez especially. I think the impact defensively that having Darvin back there to work with him and lend some of that defensive acumen, that is going to be huge. So is Greg Buckner, though, who is the, I know when Darvin returned, the verbiage was he is the lead assistant. By all accounts, Greg Buckner is the lead assistant. He was the associate head coach for the Cavs for the last 4 years. Doc Rivers has already said, he's my defensive coordinator. And the only other time I have done that, where I let a coach run the defense, was when I had Tom Thibodeau in Boston with the Celtics, and look what Tibbs has gone on to now. So
he's not doing so good right now. However, you're right.
It just speaks to, when we talk about the roster makes sense now, and I'm not going to say it's the best bench in the unit, but you certainly feel a lot better in the league, but you certainly feel a lot
it's
better.
It's up there, I think.
Certainly feel a lot better about that second unit now when it's
way better.
Bobby Portis as your clear sixth man. When healthy, Taurean Prince is coming off the bench. DeLon Wright is a combo guard coming off the bench as well. You go back to last year when it was Bobby Portis and
Jay Green
and
Andre Jackson.
Whoever is going to step up today was basically what it was. So I think certainly the roster makes much more sense. It is a deeper team. It is a better team. But the coaching staff, too, that piece makes sense. It's not Doc Rivers trying to force a square peg into a round hole with some of the coaches that he had inherited. We saw Joe Prunty and Vin Baker make the cut, but his guys are there, and his guys are very experienced.
Yeah, it's exciting as a Bucks fan because there's confidence into that coaching staff, and I didn't want to say that there's not with Adrian Griffin, but I felt like that, I praised John Horst earlier, and a little bit of a knock on him now was that hiring a first-time head coach last year with an unproven, staff just didn't feel like it was the right move at the time. And this year, like you mentioned, is a complete 180. And especially with getting some familiar faces in here, because I think that is big. It gives you those championship vibes from back in 2021 with Darvin Ham and some familiarity, obviously, with newer, you know, players with Taurean Prince in L.A. So, that goes back to the first point I made, though. There is no... We just don't have a crutch this year. We had a couple excuses built in last year.
Why do you want one?
I don't. That's what I'm worried about. You know, Dame got here late. Adrian Griffin was a questionable hire. Terry Stotts left. Chris Middleton was banged up.
But it's those are good absent problems. It's good to not have those issues hovering over you.
Right.
The Gary Trent Jr. thing, all the offseason, to get all those guys that make sense and fit with this roster. And, you know, we heard DeLon Wright was, they didn't go as far as clearly stating it, but I think if you read between the lines, DeLon Wright was number one on their board. We got to bring this guy in. Per Doc Rivers and Taurean Prince and Gary Trent Jr., both guys, they said, hey, it would be great if we could get them, but we just have vet minimum, so we'll check in with them and see where they're at. But I don't know if this is going to be feasible. And you got all three of them with veteran minimums. The guy that was most instrumental in that, who landed you Damian Lillard a season ago, who brought you, you know, granted it may not have worked out as we hope, but Jay Crowder a couple of years ago, PJ Tucker, Drew Holiday, and on and on and on. General manager John Horst, he sat down with Gale Klappa. You will hear that conversation coming up after this as the season preview show continues. When we return, we go courtside. Gale Klappa's conversation with Bucks general manager John Horst. You will hear that next on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
There's still more work to do. This is the Bucks season preview on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin. The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
On courtside tonight, it's Dame time. Our guest, Bucks star Damian Lillard.
Like, I got there and they was like, you know, this is for you. And I was like, man, is this what happens when, you know, when dudes get traded?
This is Courtside with Gale Klappa.
He's the deputy commissioner and chief operating officer of the NBA, Mark Tatum.
Well, look, the Bucks are a championship level team. There's no doubt about that.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made.
The head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Doc Rivers.
I want to get this thing right. I want to win. We want to win.
Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside. The year, 2017. John Horst, only 34 years old. But he knew the Bucks organization inside out, and he became one of the youngest general managers to ever hold the role in the NBA. In the John Horst era, the Bucks have been winners in the playoffs every year. A championship in 2021, but a first-round loss last season left Bucks fans yearning for more. So where do we stand? How do the Bucks stack up in an Eastern Conference that's loaded with talent? We're on the eve now of a brand-new NBA season, and tonight we get some insight from the architect, the general manager of the Bucks, John Horst. John, great to visit with you. Thanks so much for sitting down with us here on Courtside.
Hey, Gale, I'm glad to be with you. Excited for the conversation.
Well, John, let's start with the question that's top of mind for Bucks fans everywhere, and that's the status of Chris Middleton. When healthy, and you know this very well, Chris is an all-star caliber player, coming off surgery on both ankles during the offseason. John, what can you tell us about his overall health, his progress, and his return to the lineup?
I think we all saw how well Chris played throughout the playoffs last year, also throughout the season. Had an unfortunate injury against the Phoenix Suns when he stepped on Kevin Durant's foot last year. Chris fought through that, played through that, but at the end of the day had routine cleanup surgeries in both of his ankles during the offseason and did incredibly well through that, is healthy. We expect him to be great this season, come back fully healthy, participated heavily in training camp so far and most of what we've done. And he, you know, he's close to being fully healthy and coming back here soon. Don't expect him to play against Philly coming up here, but, you know, hopefully shortly after.
John, speaking of our star players, I understand that Damian Lillard, who was hurting, as you know, in the playoffs last year, came to training camp in what may be the best shape of his storied career.
Yeah, listen, we've been in constant communication with Dame throughout the offseason. he's completely vested in the organization and his health and his rehab and then his conditioning, his connectivity with Giannis and Chris and the whole team. And so Dame's had a great offseason. We've had a great offseason with him. He's in great condition. He's in a great mental headspace and really just connected to the organization. These things take time. And, you know, from where we were last year at this time, where we were basically had just acquired him, to where we are today, we're just in a much better spot. So we look forward to big things from Dame and this team as that continues to grow.
John, as we get ready to tip off the season, maybe the best news is that Giannis is raring to go after a serious calf injury that kept him out of the playoffs last year. And as you well know, Giannis has found a way to improve his game every single year. I don't think we've seen him hit a performance ceiling yet, but I'm curious, John, in what aspect of his game do you think we'll see even more improvement in the campaign ahead?
Wow, great question. Giannis, as you mentioned, you know, continues to grow and improve and just advance his game year over year. You know, his strength and conditioning and everything just gets better year over year. He puts in more work than anybody. He's had an incredible summer. You know, a lot of it we were all able to see and watching him play in the Olympics and did great things with the Greek national team, you know, qualifying for the Olympics the first time in his Olympic national team career. And, you know, just it's a credit to him and how much he works, how much he cares. I think all aspects of his game continue to grow. I think he'll continue to improve as a shooter, thinking the game, the way he gets his teammates involved. He's had some incredible passing exhibitions and performances, you know, over the years. But I think that's becoming even more consistent and solid in his game. And I think just in terms of how he helps Dame be better and Brooke be better and Chris and, you know, now Gary Trent and DeLon Wright and Torian Prince and Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis, I think he just continues to give to his teammates on and off the floor. And I think that's another area where you'll see him grow and see us grow as a result of it.
John, over the years, switching gears here a bit, you've seen firsthand the wear and tear of the long NBA season and the physical toll that it takes on players. Last week, as you know, we saw the news out of Philadelphia that Joel Embiid, one of the dominant big men in the NBA, will no longer play in back-to-back games. Do you think we'll see a similar approach this season with any of our key players?
No. Listen, I think every team, every organization has their philosophies, their standards, their analysis, and how to approach a season. And it is a long, grueling season. These guys compete each and every night at the fullest level, as hard as they can. And that's what grit generates and creates such a great NBA product and why it's such a popular viewership for sports fans. And I think, you know, how Philly or any other team approaches it or a player individual is up to them. For us, our goal has always been to one, have our players be ready fitness-wise and just kind of strength and conditioning to compete at the highest level. How do we maintain or improve that throughout the course of the season? And how do we be in the best position to be not only available but thriving as we enter the playoffs? And so, you know, we haven't been able to do that every year. Some years we have. Sometimes it's a result of what we have or haven't done. Sometimes it's bad luck, good luck. But we've spent a lot of time this year analyzing our roster, creating a plan and an approach. And I'm very, very high on and very optimistic on our approach to the season. And here we go. You know, starting with Philly, we're going to start playing, and that'll adjust. You know, it needs to be fluid. It needs to be fluid as we learn more about the team, about opponents, about style of play, and we'll adjust it as we go.
And, John, compared to previous years, how tough do you think is the back-to-back schedule for the Bucks this year?
You know, more back-to-backs this year than last season. Back-to-backs in themselves, I think, are tough, but it's not the toughest part of the schedule. You look at the schedule more in, you know, 1 week increments or 2 week increments. You look at the opponents that you play. Are the back-to-backs, you know, starting at home or ending at home, starting away or ending away? So there's a lot of different things beyond just back-to-backs and the number of them that you have. It's part of our schedule. It's the density of our schedule and how many games we fit into the schedule that we have. And so it's no different for us than it is any other team in the NBA. I think usually we're near the middle to the high end of back-to-backs. This year is the same. And so we'll manage that and we'll approach it and address it and we'll be as competitive as possible each and every game, whether it's a game before that or not.
We'll have more with Bucks GM John Horst in a moment. This is Courtside on WTMJ.
Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks General Manager John Horst.
John, let's focus for a bit on the offseason moves that you made to retool and strengthen the roster. Three free agent acquisitions. Let's start with what some general managers around the league called the steal of the season, signing guard Gary Trent Jr. Tell us what Gary brings to the Bucks and how you convinced him to pass up a lot more money to come to Milwaukee.
Well, I think, you know, whether we're talking about Gary now or Torian or DeLon, hopefully shortly after, we expect these guys to have a big impact on our team. We are very excited about, we're very bullish on the impact of these additions, not only on the floor but off the floor. All targets of ours in the offseason, and really thrilled to have them. You know, Gary specifically, you know, we think gives us a starting two-guard size. He's a big-time shot maker. He's a very willing shot taker, something, you know, people have heard me speak about for years. I think that that plays well in our system. It plays well with our team, with Dame and Giannis and Chris and Brooke and Bobby and Pat and kind of on down the list. And so Gary's proven. He's proven that he can score in bunches. He's proven that he can make contested shots. He's a guy that brings a physical component to the way he defends, using that size and strength and toughness that he has. He's had seasons where he's been a very plus positive defender. He's had seasons where he hasn't been as impactful defensively. We believe that through our system and our coaching and his motivation to have a great year, we'll get a very positive impact defensively as well. And so, you know, not much about Gale, about what I said or I did or Doc said or Doc did. At the end of the day, this is Gary. Gary Trent chose the Milwaukee Bucks. He chose the city of Milwaukee. He chose his teammates and Giannis and Dame and you know, on down the group. And this is a Gary Trent decision to put himself in a position to win and to be part of a winner and, you know, hopefully net the results and the benefits that come along with that as a young player. Love where he's at in his career. He's just entering his prime. I love where he's at from a motivation standpoint. And I just think he's going to be a great fit.
Terrific. And then, John, there's Taurean Prince. He was a favorite of Coach Darvin Ham on the roster of the Lakers last year. Taurean actually averaged 27 minutes a game this past season, and I suspect he'll play a big role in the early going for the Bucks at power forward. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Taurean, you know, started 60, 70 games for a good Lakers team, played the minutes that you spoke of. This is a proven veteran player who brings a defensive component and a size component. He's a very capable shot maker, very high IQ offensive player, really a connector. He knows how to set screens, knows how to make the right pass, make the swings, you know, really plays within a system, knows how to play off of stars. He's done that throughout his career. So another super high character individual, high IQ individual, love his size, love where he's at age-wise and where he's at in his career right here in the middle of his prime right now, and was just an unbelievable get for us. And again, another player who chose the opportunity to win, chose the city of Milwaukee, chose this organization, was not short on opportunities. He had many other opportunities to work, to make more money, but he chose to take this job and this opportunity with us this year, and I'm very thankful for that. You know, I think one of the things about Taurean, I could even say this about Gary as well, and when we talk about DeLon, you know, these guys are defensive playmakers. You know, I think it's important to generate turnovers and to execute off of turnovers, get our team out in transition. It's one of our strengths. And all three of these players show up very favorably in those metrics, and that's another reason we targeted them.
And, John, last but not least, DeLon Wright, a guard known, as you mentioned, for his determination on defense.
Yeah, DeLon's a big guard. He's got long wingspan. High IQ player, has played for a number of good teams, and just really is versatile. He's a true combo guard in our mind and plays on the ball just as well as that. He plays off the ball, and that works. That works for us with guys like Giannis, who's going to handle a lot. Dame's going to handle a lot. Chris will handle it a lot. And so you want versatile guards that can play with or without it, that will give themselves to the team. DeLon's another one that gives himself to the team, an incredibly high-character individual. Who will represent our organization in its fullest. And he's very excited to be here. He was an early commitment to us. He knew he wanted to play with us. He wanted this opportunity, and we're thankful for that as well.
And, John, one last personnel question. Talk with us, if you will, about the center position and how you and Doc Rivers plan to back up Brook Lopez, who, as you know, had more block shots last year than any other player in the NBA.
You know, Gail, some years we went into the season with Brook and Giannis and Bobby as our bigs, and then a number of kind of versatile forwards around them for small ball lineups, something that we think we're really, really good at. There's been other years where we've had a fourth big, I guess you could call it, on the roster to back up both of those positions, maybe a more traditional big that could more traditionally fill backup five. This season, as you know, right now, we've got the three bigs. We've got a young two-way in Liam Robbins, who we're really excited about. Big seven-footer, defensive player of the year in his conference in college. And just a high IQ, highly competitive physical presence that I think will give us an opportunity and help us there. We drafted Tyler Smith, a young big. Who I think, you know, could earn some opportunities, and we have a lot of versatile forwards on the roster. And so right now it's by committee. No rosters are perfectly constructed in terms of balance and covering yourselves, because you get 15 spots and you get three two-ways, right? So it's not a limitless number of spots that you have. And so you do the best that you can to balance yourselves, give yourself as many opportunities, and then, you know, if you need to adjust and make changes along the way, you hopefully are in a position where you can do that. So we love where we're at right now. I'll take our three kind of primary core bigs against anybody's in the league. And I love the way that we have versatility and depth behind them. And if it proves that we need to make some changes, we'll do that along the way.
We'll have more with John Horst right after this. It's Courtside on WTMJ.
The Bucks Season Preview Show on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks General Manager John Horst.
John, as we get ready to open the new season, the Bucks seem, literally for the first time in years, to be under the radar. We won't be playing in the showcase games on Christmas Day, and many of the pundits point to Boston, Philly, and New York as teams to reckon with in the Eastern Conference. What's your perspective on how the Bucks stack up in what is clearly a conference with tons of talent?
Yeah, first of all, yes. Not only a conference with a ton of talent, a league with a ton of talent, there's a ton of parity in this league. Adam Silver, the NBA, the ownership groups within the NBA have done an incredible job creating a very competitive league. I think there are a number of teams that justifiably could sit here today before the season starts and say that they've positioned themselves to have a chance to do what we all do, win the last game of the season. For us, whether people are speculating it or not, talking about it or not, we clearly believe that we're one of those teams as well. And very matter-of-factly, our only concern is to get better every day. Focus on ourselves as the Milwaukee Bucks. We have our own belief in who we are. This is a group that's dedicated to working hard, that's getting better, staying connected, and really is truly together. And so we look forward to the challenge in front of us. And again, kind of matter-of-factly, not concerned with what people do or don't think, really just concerned with ourselves.
Well, that makes sense, John. That's all you can do. You take it one day at a time, and as you say, get better every single day. And, John, let's switch gears for just a minute and walk down memory lane. You've achieved, obviously, great success as general manager of the Bucks. During your tenure, you've been named NBA Executive of the Year, and you've never shied away from a challenge. John, what would you say, as you think back over the years, what is the most important thing you've learned about leadership during your years here in Milwaukee?
It's a great question, Gil. I think, first of all, leadership is not an island. It's not a singular thing. It takes a village, right? It takes a village to be a good leader. You have to have great support. You have to have great counsel. You have to have great self-reflection. I think I've learned things that I'm really good at, things that I need to delegate and have people help me with. I think I've learned that you can do as many things possible as you can right and for the right reasons, and maybe not get the intended result or the intended outcome or the hopeful outcome. And the most powerful thing is to not be stuck on that but to be reflective on the why and how you approached it and figure out how to do it again and do it differently and do it better. And so, you know, we've talked a lot with our group this year to not be too reflective on the accomplishments and the successes in the past. Those are great. We'll have those forever. But today the challenge is to be better, to do something different and more than we did last year. And so we're constantly looking for ways and opportunities to do more and do better than our most recent, you know, successes and failures. And I think that's what I would say. You know, it's been humbling. It's been fun. I love the challenge of trying to rise or rise again. And I'm excited for this year and the challenges and the pressure and the stresses and the opportunities that present themselves. And I love the people that I have an opportunity to do it with. And that goes to Peter Fagan. It goes to our ownership group, Jimmy Haslam and Wes Edens and Dee Haslam. Goes to Doc Rivers and our star players and Giannis and Dame and Chris and Brooke and the core support. This is a great collective group of individuals that hopefully each and every day we can do our best to operate in a champion type level. And if we have enough champions here in this organization, Gale, hopefully we can win a championship again.
And John, now you have at your side one of the most experienced coaches in the history of the NBA, Doc Rivers.
Yeah, Doc is a great partner, growing, great relationship. I learn from him each and every day, just his perspective on things, having, you know, just such a wealth of knowledge of playing for so many years at an elite level, an all-star level player, coaching for so many years, you know, at a Hall of Fame level, and just, you know, all the things that he's seen, the relationships that he has, the different bits of knowledge he has. He's been a great resource to me as a professional and to our organization. And I think, you know, having him now, you know, start a season, go through a training camp and off season, you know, the early parts of the season, I think that everyone will see the impact of Doc's character and Doc's professionalism and Doc's expertise as a coach, on this roster. And I look forward to going through that with him and having our fan base see what we can do.
And, John, the final word, what one thing would you like Bucks fans to know as we start the 24-25 NBA season?
It's simple. I put on my Peter Fagan hat. We have an incredible product, an incredible opportunity. This is a championship organization that's operated as such for almost a decade. We have two top 75 all-time players. We have one of the best supporting cores in the league. We have MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo, and just come out and support us. We've had the best fan base in the NBA, again, for almost a decade. Let's do it again. Keep filling Fiserv Forum. Keep being loud. The open scrimmage the other day was incredible just to see the energy in the building, the amount of people that came out for an event like that. Looking forward to seeing more of that as we open against the Chicago Bulls and every game after that. So we love our fans. And this is an incredible opportunity to be a Milwaukee Bucks fan in the state of Wisconsin. You know, don't miss the chance to be part of it. This is a special, special time in Bucks history.
I don't know, John. Peter might charge you for those thoughts.
He should pay me for those thoughts.
He really should. Oh, gosh. John, thank you so much for your time. Always a great pleasure to sit down with you and hear your insights. We very much appreciate it. Best of luck as we open the season. You've been listening to Courtside on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
This is the Bucks Season Preview Show on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
All right, our thanks to Gale Klompa for that conversation with Bucks General Manager John Horst. And we have our first final score of the season. On ring night in TD Garden in Boston, the Celtics dismantle the, depending on who you listen to, biggest threat to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, the New York Knicks, 132-109. Now, one game does not a season make, but... Celtics picking up where they left off, and Jason Tatum with an MVP-esque performance at 14 of 18 shooting with 37 points.
See them in a few days, about a week.
Week, 10 days.
Yeah, fourth game of the year. Good test for the Bucks early.
Yeah, it's... I think day two of a back-to-back for the Celtics.
I'm going to pull up the schedule.
You only have three matchups with the Celtics this season, and I believe two of them are impacted by back-to-backs, one for the Bucks and one for the Celtics. And it's what, the first week of December that your Celtics games are done with?
Yeah.
So, look, especially if things start to linger and you don't see this team at full strength, it's not really going to be a great barometer. But there's going to be a lot of those litmus tests throughout the season with the way that the Eastern Conference has loaded up so far, on paper at least. We didn't see the results for the New York Knicks tonight. And now our final game of the day on this two-game tip-off day is the Minnesota Timberwolves in Los Angeles to take on the Lakers. There's some interesting games on the schedule for the remainder of the week. Of course, the one that we have the most attention to spend on is the Bucks in Philadelphia tomorrow, taking on the 76ers. We mentioned the injuries for both of those teams and how that injury report is going to look. But there's more to take a look at in this matchup between the Bucks and the 76ers. We will start to preview the season opener when we return. It is the Bucks season preview show on WTMJ and ESPN Milwaukee.
There's still more work to do. This is the Bucks season preview on WTMJ and ESPN Wisconsin.
It's my 13th season. The fact that I'm still being able to be at the level that I've been at, you know, for such a long time, like, I'm not new to it. I've been getting 20 a game and in the postseason since 2013, you know? So, like, I've been doing it a long time. So it's only right that some 23, 24, 25-year-olds come along and that's whose name you're going to see. You know, I think that's normal. And for me, the battle is, like, how long can I just keep being it? How long can I keep doing it? And the way I feel physically, the way I feel mentally, I know that, like, at this point, they're gonna have to knock me out the way.
That is Damian Lillard, who has heard all of the slander throughout the course.
I'm excited for him this year, man. I'm excited.
Of the offseason. It started on the podium after game six in that loss to the Indiana Pacers when Damian Lillard said, I think people are going to be surprised when they see me next year, and went into what we heard in much more detail, or started to get into, what we heard in much more detail at Media Day and throughout the course of the offseason, just the timeline of events for Damian Lillard. We mentioned it at the top of the show, too. Traded on, the 27th mm-hmm. of September. It was a Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday. It was going into the weekend. Arrives in Milwaukee that Saturday. He met his teammates at the training center facility on that Sunday. The day after that is Media Day, when he meets everyone in the local media and sees Milwaukee as a whole. The day after that, training camp begins. He's still living out of a hotel. His family is living in Portland. He's dealing with things off the court, going through a divorce. It was a lot. And when he detailed step by step what the season was like for him, you could see where that inconsistency may have come from. The games where he missed, not for injury purposes, when he was away from the team, whenever he came back from Portland after having spent time with his family, it was a different Damian.
Different player.
Yeah. And, you know, we heard a lot of talk, as I mentioned, through the offseason and Media Day about proving people wrong, and people are going to be surprised when they see me. And you start to get to the level of, okay, we've heard it. Now we got to see it. And hear it about the work he did with David Goggins and how he was sore for 3 weeks and stopped, I think wisely, short of saying he's in the best shape of his life, because whenever you do that, it's the kiss of death. But he's in terrific shape. And, you know, granted, it's preseason games, but I think what you've seen so far from Damian Lillard in the preseason, he's starting to feel very comfortable and confident of, yep, I feel like this is going to be a much different version of Damian Lillard this season.
It's crazy at this point in his career, top 75 player of all time, Giannis, a top 75 player of all time. It's a little bit mind-boggling that those two, you could probably make the case for a few other players, but have the most to prove, it feels like, going into this season. Is that Is that a little unfair? Or is that fair? I think it's fair. You look at around the league, the Boston Celtics just won the title. Miami was in the finals more recently than the Bucks. Phoenix, I guess, but KD's got a few rings. Golden State's done everything. New York is, but they're just scratching the surface a little bit with Brunson, and you make the trade for Kat.
The Warriors in that second phase, too, of, you know, we let Klay walk, but Steph and Draymond are still here.
Yeah,
and
but they don't have anything to prove, though. I mean, that's a
dynasty. Some of the young guys, like, I mean, we've heard about, you know, the two different eras and merging that.
I suppose. I guess you could. I mean, Dallas.
Two timelines for the Warriors.
Dallas is, you know, with Luka, they're kind of under a little bit of, but they were just there.
Just in the finals, so
I mean,
it wasn't a fluke is
right.
What they're facing. The Timberwolves, too, of, okay, can you take the next step similar to what we saw from the Bucks when they reached the conference finals in Bud's first year and you felt like, man, this team is going to be competing for countless championships.
Because this is a legacy-type moment in this year for Damian Lillard, in my opinion. Like, he's already stamped his legacy. Like, he's a top 75 guy, one of the best shooters, one of the best clutch shooters. But a championship or a finals run moves the needle a little bit for him and some of the peers that he's running up against.
I don't view him as this as such here, but yeah, it changes on do you view Damian Lillard as like, yeah, I mean, it was a cool story. He was the guy that hit a lot of deep shots.
Right.
Great score, great individual, offensive player, but his teams didn't win.
Right.
Like, that's what stuck with him. And
a run to the finals changes everything.
A deep run, yeah. It changes
everything.
It removes some of that sour taste around Giannis, too. Well, that's the big one. But, I mean, Giannis, too, look, he's got the championship. And the fact that he played in the finals when we thought his knee exploded, and not only, well, we're not going to see him in the finals, like the grave concern was, so he's going to miss most, if not all, of next year, too, and that's immediately what your mind went to. So not only the fact that he played in those finals, but how he looked.
I cried that night.
How he looked closing out the series in Game 6 with the 50-piece.
Greatest final performance ever.
You can't take that away. That changes everything around Giannis, because if the Bucks don't have a championship, you know what the narrative is. And especially with two straight first-round exits, the narrative of the run-and-dunk man is going to be even more present. So that championship, it changes everything.
And it's not only that, but the knock on Lillard for a while was he just hasn't had anybody to play with. He hasn't had any run with another star, and now you pair him with, in my opinion, one of the better stars, you know, from a fit standpoint that you could, and hopefully it comes to fruition, and hopefully they both adapt well to the new style of play that they're both going to have to adjust to, playing with another star, you know, full-time star. But now he has that with Giannis.
A couple of texts as we start to wrap here. We asked realistic expectations for this team. It's a spot I don't know that we've been in quite some time to not really know what to expect. The consensus is if this team is healthy, at least from what you guys have said, if this team is healthy, I expect an Eastern Conference Finals run at the very least with this group. I don't make predictions, but that's basically where I'm at too. If this team can stay healthy, I fully believe in them.
I'm with you.
Season starts tomorrow. The Bucks in Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. 6:30 tip-off. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins with myself and Dave Kane. And after the game, be sure to stick around for Bucks Talk with Brandon and myself. We will talk to you then.